Hi guys, welcome back to a new episode of the Carefree and Black Diaries podcast. My name is Shakira and I'm the host. Thank you for coming back for a new episode. Now, I'm just gonna hop into things because this is one of those weeks where we had a part one and a part two. So if you already listened to part one, you already know what's going on. But let me just, you know, catch the people up that hadn't listened to part one. You know, everyone who listened to part one, just hold on real quick. So those who have not listened to part one of this podcast, on Tuesday we talked about rejection. We had part one with the guest Cecil Robinson, and you kind of need to listen to part one to kind of find out where we fall in and restart for part two. So go back, listen to that, and then come back here. We're going to be waiting on you. I promise we're not going anywhere. Just go back, listen to that, and then come back here for part two so you can just, you know, get the full experience. Now, for those who listen to part one, welcome back. I told you, I promised you, part two was coming on Thursday at 9 a.m. Would I let you down? Would I ever let you down? I hope your answer is no, because I tried not to let you down. So this is part two, a continuation of the conversation that Cecil and I had about rejection, depression, where we are in life right now, life after school, after grad school and everything. So I hope that you all have enjoyed part one so far, and I hope that you all will continue to enjoy part two. I am not going to hold you up. We're just going to have a break for our sponsors, and then we will be back with the continuation of part two, and I will see you guys at the end of this episode. Enjoy. So when you start getting so many no's, it can be easy for us to, and you kind of touched on this earlier too, it can be kind of hard for us to separate that no from who we are as people. So when we hear no, we think, what's wrong with me? Like, what did I do wrong? So how can listeners, and me too, because I want to know too, how can we separate that rejection from our worth as a person?
Honestly, I think that's something that I'm still trying to figure that out myself, because like, even though I just recently like just accepted that job offer, I'm still trying to unpack the rejection that I did face. And so I was initially thinking that, okay, once I got this job, or like once the job offer was given to me, or when they told me that I had gotten a job, you know, all of that, you know, all those feelings of rejection and that mentality that I kind of had like developed or adapted would kind of just cease to exist. And it's one of those things, like, it's still sitting in my mind. It's kind of not necessarily festering, but it's just kind of sitting there. And it's like, okay, you know, you got this job, but like, what if you're not good enough at it? Or like, what if they let you go? Or like, what if you aren't actually qualified? And like, you know, what if they're just doing it out of pity? Or, you know, it's one of those things that it's just like, nobody else is thinking of those questions but you. And so I think honestly, really in terms of really ensuring that, really making sure, or like just being 100% of yourself, or honestly, I wouldn't say 100%, because I don't think anyone's ever really 100%. It really stems, I'm trying to find the best like way to put it, but I think it starts with understanding that you need to be broken. You need to have a breakdown in order to realize that you need to be built back up into something completely different. Because who I was before I had my breakdown is not who I am right now. Like, I honestly felt like I was just a shell of a human being. Like, I was walking around, I was doing what was needed of me, I was smiled when I needed to, I spoke when I needed to speak. But I think as of right now, I'm somebody, you know, who's living rather than just existing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm finding joy in things that I had once thought I would never find joy in. And I'm also learning, you know, to just really understand that, like, all the parts of me, and, you know, whether that stems down, you know, to the rejections, or, you know, to my own, you know, I don't really want to call it like a disability, but it's something that for a long time, and I still think that it interferes with the way that people, you know, like have conversations with me, whether that be both professional or just conversational, is my stutter. And so something, and it's just one of those things that I'm like, okay, so I don't know, maybe it's my stutter that kind of, you know, negates people from being, you know, from being able to be like, hey, you know, we're going to give you a shot. But I think it's one of those things, it's understanding that every part of you is worth something. Mm-hmm. And it's like the right, it's like the best job will come when it's needed to, you know, like it will reveal itself. It might not even be something that was on your radar. It might come out of left field. I know with my job, it didn't necessarily come out of left field, but it was like God had planted a seed about this organization months ago, and I just kind of ignored it, like, okay, like, that's cute. Like, like, oh, that's cute, God, thanks. Like, just kind of shrugging my shoulders, like, oh, you did great, thanks. Just kind of like turning my head like, I don't really want that. But, you know, and it's finally, I just really allowed him to really just like show me things that I had been putting off. Like I had put my blinders up to this organization, to the work that this organization is doing, to the work, you know, just to the work that I could potentially be doing, that I eventually was like, okay, let me put my blinders down. Like, let me actually take some time and really see what's being put in front of me. Because I think, ooh, this is a thing. I think for me, one of the biggest things was that I had this idea. I envisioned what I thought the plan would be. And everything else, I was like, no, I'm here. Y'all are coming over here. I don't want y'all. I'm here. You know, it's like, don't try to come in my lane. Like, I want to stay right here. And so it eventually took me just kind of being like, okay, you need to humble yourself. Like, I mean, you're good. You work hard. You know, you work twice as hard and you still only got half of what your peers got, you know, even though you were the one who, you know, you did all the work, you know, you stayed up late, you know, you missed out on the fun. Like, you know, like you graduated, you know, top of your class, like you graduated earlier than your class. And so I think a lot of those things kind of like jumped into my mind and I was like, okay, like I did everything that I was supposed to. Like, I did everything I needed to an undergrad, like being a student athlete, but also being involved in multiple extracurricular activities on top of maintaining such a high GPA. And so, you know, I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, but why didn't I, you know, get what I thought I was going to get right after I graduated with my master's? Like, why didn't these jobs just start jumping at me like, oh my gosh, we want you. Like, you look like you're great. Like, you're great on paper. You're great on phone. And so it really took me just kind of being like, okay, let me humble myself. Like, I'm great. I'm good. But also, you need to humble yourself and know that there's something out there for you that fits you for who you are wholeheartedly. And so I think for me, it finally just really took me understanding, like, okay, step back and just really let God just work how he needs to work, or just really let the universe work how it needs to work in general.
I love it. So this also is kind of like a segue into the next question, because in the article you mentioned waiting in the unknown. And I thought that it was just such a good little blurb, because I was just like, that is what it is. While you're waiting, you don't know what's going on. And so if it can feel like you're in like this doctor's office or just a waiting room, and you're like waiting on your number to be called, and mm-hmm. you see all these other people's numbers being called and they're moving on, and you're like, okay, I've been here a little long, you know, like, when is my number going to be called? When is
what's going on here?
Yeah. So how, like, when you are in this season, when we are in this waiting room, waiting for our number to be called for whatever we're going to be doing, whether it's a new job, whether it be applying to schools, grad schools, programs, certificates, for everyone listening, like, how can they prepare themselves in the meantime to wait in that waiting room?
So I know something, and I'll take this as like my own personal like experience. So I know for me, in terms of waiting, in terms of, you know, really like just waiting for God to reveal himself in terms of like what the next step may be for a full-time position or a job or a move or just really whatever it was across the board for me, I was like, okay, so I'm a strong believer in that. Well, you know, like what's meant to be will be, and that God will do what he wants for me to be done. But I'm also a person who has the mindset that I'm not going to just let God do all the work. Like, I'm going to go out and do, I'm also going to go out and try to put my best foot forward just so that I can kind of help, you know, God at the same time. Because I truly believe that, you know, like God, you know, God can, he can move mountains, but faith without work is dead. So I feel like you need to also be doing something to like actively make sure that you, you know, are trying to be the best version of yourself. So for me, it really, I like went back to the drawing board. So I had, you know, I started reaching out to mentors. I started reaching out to connections on LinkedIn. Literally the smallest of conversations I had with people, I was like, okay, so I need to get plugged in. Like, I want to get plugged in. Like, I want to make sure that I'm doing the, you know, like I'm just, you know, like I'm really utilizing the best of my time right now. And so it actually worked out perfectly that with, not actually worked perfectly, but with everything going on in the sense of with COVID, but also with Black Lives Matter. So with COVID, it worked out perfectly. So not being able to have a full-time job, and I was really worried that not having something on my resume, I didn't really want a gap because I was like, okay, maybe an employer might look at that and think, maybe you're just being lazy or maybe mm-hmm. something was going on, like you didn't really want a job. And so I was like, okay, like I want something on my resume. And it finally took me being like, wait a minute, your parents own a small business during COVID. And so for me, at that moment, it was me finally saying like, okay, like I might not have the job that I want, but I'm in the position, you know, to do the best work that I can. And so for, you know, I don't even know if you know this, but my parents own Lindy's Fried Chicken in Crawfordville.
Really?
Yeah, my parents own Lindy's. Yeah, so that's, yeah.
I don't know that.
Yeah. This whole time with COVID, I've been trying to figure out ways in terms of getting information out to like our customers, but also just to the public as a whole. And so that's where like the title of social media coordinator came about. And so through COVID, I started running like different like promotionals and like marketing pieces on our social media platform. In regards to how we started something in our own community, and it kind of like grew from like Wakulla into Tallahassee. So we started feeding school children. We put it on our social media page that we're going to be feeding school children for about 2 weeks until the local school system figured out like, okay, what, you know, like what can we do since school's going to be out? And we know that a lot of families rely on the breakfast and lunch meals that the school provided in terms of giving students adequate meals. And so I ran something on our social media page. It was like hashtag Wakulla Strong. And like I gave like a little brief snippet about like what we were going to be doing. And I like remember like posting it like maybe 6 or 7 p.m. And I was like, okay, like maybe this will gain a little bit of traction and just like let some families and, you know, in the community know what's going on. I woke up the next morning and then it just kind of like blew up. Like it had over 1,000 shares engagement wise. It had like 50,000 plus engagement on our Facebook page. And I was like, hello. I was like, what is going on? And so for me, it really took me realizing that you have everything in front of you that you already need. You just need to go out and do the work. Like, I know that you might not want to, this might not be what you need, but this is what you could be doing in terms of helping your family right now. Because again, we're a small business, a Black owned business in a very rural and, you know, small community. And so for us with COVID-19, we don't have a drive-through. And so we were trying to figure out new ways in terms of, you know, abiding by CDC regulations, but also by the World Health Organization. And so, you know, for me, it really became more of like a strategizing type of role. Like, okay, what can we be doing in terms of making sure that we are meeting the demands of the community, but also of our like global health leaders.
Right.
So that was something that just really just kind of like sparked my complete, like not sparked my interest, but really kind of like revitalized like who I was as an aspiring communication professional. Because again, beforehand, I was like, you know what? Like, maybe I don't have it. Like, maybe I need like a new career plan. And I'm telling myself all this after like having just come back from the like National Communication Association after like presenting my thesis. And I was telling myself like, yeah, like, okay, like, you know, like I'm doing it, you know, like I'm doing the things that my parents have always dreamed of me. Cause you know, I was the first in my family to go off for college, but I was the first in my family to get my master's. And so here I am like graduating and I'm like seeing my family, all of them proud, crying. I'm crying myself and I'm thinking like, wow, this is amazing. And then a few months later, I'm telling myself like, you didn't have it in you, you know, like you weren't cut out for it. And then a few weeks ago, I was looking at myself in the mirror and I was like, did you bump your head at some point? Like, did you really tell yourself like you weren't cut out for this? Like, I'm like, sir, I'm literally telling myself like, sir, you were cut from a different cloth. Like people, you know, I'm literally telling myself like, you know, like you were, you know, like you were waiting on somebody to bring, you know, like, you know, you, for me, I was telling myself like you were waiting on somebody to bring you to the table when you could have brought your own stuff to the table. And so I like, you know, so that was something I was like, wow, like, why would I wait on somebody else to do something for me when I can go out and get it myself? And yeah. So, and it helped with that in the sense of with COVID and our small business and how we've been able to kind of just truly like stay afloat by, you know, just like kind of revamping how we're doing things with our social media, but also our efforts like on a local and like community level as well. And so on the Black Lives Matter type of level though, something about that was that I'm, you know, I had never really had time to really engage in, you know, a lot of like social based issues because of my role as a student athlete. And I can say it freely now, but the NCAA is trash because they, you know, make us sign these regulations and they're telling us like, hey, like we want you to compete for us, but also we don't want you to have a voice. And so I was like, you know what? I can have a voice now. Like I can go out and say what I want to say and stand up for what I believe in without, you know, facing any type of repercussions. And so for the BLM, it was really like getting, you know, in contact with different organizers within Tallahassee and also trying to establish like a like solidarity protest here in Wakulla County. And like I organized it and it was going to go through, but then the weather prevented us from being able to do it. But through that, you know, there was just a lot of like backlash that I received from like some individuals within the community, like we don't want that here, you know, all lives matter type of thing. And so for me, it was really, you know, it was really just realizing like, okay, like you might not have a job, but there are things that, you know, other things you really can be doing with your time. And so for me, it was getting more engaged with social justice issues, helping my family out at their restaurant by like, you know, putting us really on the map in terms of, you know, our coverage with the media and our coverage with our social media. And so another thing was really also just like learning to enjoy the time that I have, because a quote that my aunt gave me was that you will never have a time like this ever again in your life to where you can just sit back, relax, and not have to worry about the job. And there was a moment when I was like, girl, I am not trying to hear that. I'm trying to get a paycheck. You need to worry about getting me some money. I do not care about that quote. And then maybe like a couple of weeks ago, I was like, you was right. I was like, right, like, okay. You know, just one of, you know, just one of those things where you're like, I guess she was right.
But, yeah. You got to give it to her because this is a once in a lifetime.
Honestly, but, and it's crazy because I don't actually start my position until August, but I wound up picking up an internship with the Campaign for Southern Equality, working as their digital communications intern. So that way, and that was another thing, like best foot forward in terms of making sure like, okay, like what am I doing so that I can be the best applicant for a position? I was like, I can go back and get another internship.
Yep.
Like I had already done 5 other internships, but I was like, a 6 won't hurt. Like a 6 will look good. And so there's things that I'm learning from this role that I'm doing remotely that I hadn't learned or I didn't have the experience in prior. And so I'm like, God, this worked out perfectly. Like, everything that I needed or I could have wanted or that I had ever aspired for, you brought it to me. Maybe not in the timeline that I wanted, but you brought it to me at the time when I truly felt like I most needed it, because you broke me in order to build me back up into something completely different. And so that was that.
I love it. Oh, that's just right. I love it. Okay. We are going to get into some of the questions that were you all, the listeners, some of you submitted questions for me and Cecil to answer. Some of them are about rejection. Some of them are about grad school. So we're just going to get into them. So the first one is, do you have any suggestions for people who have a degree in a field that they are no longer interested in?
Ooh. I struggle with this one too. So had I not, you know, like had I not really loved the work as a communication professional, I've always wanted to be an English teacher. One of my favorite movies is The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Mm-hmm. And the English teacher in that movie is somebody who I have aspired to be since like middle school. And so my like dream job would be to be a high school English teacher teaching like about Othello, Hamlet, like anything revolving around Shakespeare, but also like young, like just like young adult literature. So I think you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Shakira, but I think for me, I think the best thing first is being able to say that out loud, is that like, I don't love what I'm doing anymore. Yeah. Like, if it's not bringing you joy, if it's not bringing you peace of mind, that's when you know it's time to walk away. And it sounds like this person knows, like, this really ain't it, Chief. Like, I don't want to do it anymore. And I honestly want to commend them for being able to say that, because I think a lot of people, and I know even for me, there's sometimes when I'm like, this isn't really what I want to do. Like, I don't really feel like it's bringing me the most purpose. Don't be afraid to go back to the drawing board, like whether that be looking into alternative, like schooling wise, like maybe that's getting certificates, maybe mm-hmm. that's, you know, like working from the ground up in an organization or some type of career field. And then, you know, just, and also don't be afraid to make connections. Like, I know I struggle with social anxiety, but like, you know, reaching out to people, I'm like, oh God, I really don't want to do this. Oh God, please.
Same.
Please don't pick up the phone. And then when they pick up, you're like, hey. So, you know, and it's even worse. So, like, even with my stutter, so it's like, especially when I meet somebody new for the first time, you know, like, it's weird, because I'll be talking to a friend, and then they introduce me to somebody that's new, and I'm like, oh, in my mind, I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, they're not about to understand anything I'm about to say. And so, I really think that, going back to this person, I think it's, you know, don't be afraid to really just look into new alternatives. And I really don't know what that means. And I don't really know what that, you know, what that could mean for them, because, you know, I haven't been in that lived experience yet, but I think, and I'll just kind of propose this, is that connect with people, like connect, you know, like looking, you know, just like kind of like looking to see what brings you joy. Like, maybe it's something, you know, maybe you're in advertising, but you really want to get into social work, mm-hmm. or maybe you're currently in advertising, but you want to get into the nursing field. Like, honestly, I say do it. I mean, I know, like, financially and like, you know, it can be extremely hard, like timely as well, but like, don't be afraid to just research and look into it. And there might be some alternatives in which you can still, you know, you don't have to go back and get an entirely new degree. You can still be using your same degree, but just in a type of like area within your career that is more centered to what you are passionate about.
Right. I agree. There are so many online like courses now and certificate programs that you can look mm-hmm. into. If you don't want to go back to school, if that's not an option for you. Also, like Cecil said, talk to people, network, go on LinkedIn or go on wherever it is you want to work, or if it's a a job. I don't know. I wish you would have been a little bit more specific, because then we would have been able to, like, really, you know. But you can research the people that work there, and you can kind of, I have stalked people's Instagram before to see, like, where did they go to school? What did they study? What did they do before they got this job? So you can look into that as well. And also, don't be afraid to, if it applies to you, but don't be afraid to use whatever degree you got in what you're pursuing. So, like me, my undergrad degree was in business administration. I knew from the jump that I did not want to work in corporate America. So I was just like, no, that's not me. And so, FAMU was like pushing, or the School of Business and Industry at FAMU was pushing us to go and work at these corporations. And I knew that's not what I wanted to do, but I could apply what I have learned with my business degree, with the podcast, with other things that I have been doing. And then with my master's in communications, I can use that with the podcast and in other things that I do. So see if there's a way for you to use your degree in some way in the way that you want it to be applied, you know? So I hope that helps, girl. Next, she says, and this is a continuation, this is a new question though, but she says, in search for work, it's not about who you know, it's who knows you. How are you remembered, or make your foundation to not be forgotten about?
Ooh. I think with that, because that's a question, that's not a question, that's like something I had a conversation with somebody in one of my previous internships, is that like, cause she herself is also one, like, how do we, you know, how do we leave a memorable mark on, like, these internship supervisors, so that one day we can get, like, future jobs with them? And I told her, and I was like, I think it's showing up as who you are, and you stand in that all the way. Cause I truly think, like, you know, like, by, you know, like, by being your most authentic self, nobody can, you know, like, nobody can deter you from saying, like, okay, well, like, maybe they're faking that. No, you are who you are, and you're standing all the way in that. Like, you're not standing in it, you know, kind of like, okay, like, I'm passively, you know, being who I am. Like, no, like, you are who you are, and you're standing as confident as you can in it. And so I think for me, you know, when it was showing up in terms of, you know, interning in different agencies, it was letting them know that, like, I am who I am. Like, I am a Black queer man in America. Like, this is who I am. Like, I live at the intersection of some days where I have to choose, like, do I want to be Black first, or do I want to be gay first? Or, like, which one do I want to use, and which one, you know, will help me navigate through society a little bit easier than the other? And I think really with that, it's also just reminding yourself that you don't have to be, you know, jumping over bridges and running up to them saying, like, hey, like, let me do this for you. What you need to do in terms of, like, hey, like, what kind of assignments, what kind of projects can I assist you on, you know, and really putting your best foot forward in those projects, you know, and really letting your work show that, okay, this person did some really good, like, they did some really good work. You know, just, I think, but truly, I think the biggest thing is, like, letting your work speak for you, you know, just, like, letting your work speak for you. Because I think a lot of times, I know I did initially when I first got my first internship, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I need to be the intern that's like, I'll get you coffee, like, I'll do everything. And then after, like, my first week, I was like, I am nobody's dog. I am not fetching you coffee. I was like, I'm not fetching you no coffee. I'm not giving you no bagels. You have two legs and two arms. Get up. Like, So, and I truly think it's one of those things that standing as confident as you can in who you are, and also making sure that the work that you're doing is good work. You know, and not just work that you're like, okay, I just need to blow through this project because it's super easy, and this other person has, like, a pretty hard project, and they're working with some, like, pretty high-end clients. Just because they work with some high-end clients doesn't mean you're going to be able to be doing some high-end projects. The person who you might be doing the simple projects for might be the same person who might be pulling you back on and, like, connecting you with other people who you need to connect with. So, truly, like, just be who you are. Like, go into your job, go into your internship, externship, whatever it may be, fellowship, what honestly, whatever it may be, be, you know, and just be you. And I think that's so, like, cliche when people are like, you know, just be you. But, like, just show up. And, you know, like, and even if you don't know, like, who you are as a whole yet, just show up in the sense that, hey, you're there physically, mm-hmm. you know, and the rest will kind of carry yourself through.
I agree. I don't even have anything to add because that was perfect. Someone says, regarding post-grad life, what advice do you have on moving out of state away from family?
Ooh, so I moved actually out of state from family when I first went to when I left high school and undergrad, I moved to Georgia and it was 6 hours away. Don't get me wrong, I love my family, but like I also know like I love being away from them because that's when I get to live my like the best version of who I am. And I just love traveling. So like I love road trips. I just love being able to be like, you know what? I got a 6 hour drive to get back to campus today. Crank on the tunes. Like we're just gonna have a good time. And so I think for me, and I think just really having the confidence to go out of state is really understanding that you can always go back home. You know, like home is never really a place. Home is the people who you feel most comfortable with. And I'm going to quote Pose real quick, but like your chosen family really is your chosen family. Like I know for me, like, you know, and I'll be authentic is that like, there was a time when like me and my family, just in regards to my sexual orientation, like we weren't as close. And so I think for me, like my chosen family would have to be like my homegirls who showed up for me in college. Like, you know, like these are the homegirls who, you know, picked you up and were like, hey, you good? And you're like, oh yeah, I'm fine. And they're like, yeah, I'm pulling up. So what are we doing? You know, so it's just one of those things that's like, you have your chosen family and it's like, you have these people who love you unconditionally, who you might've just met maybe like 2 months ago when school started. But even with post-grad, it's understanding that like, you can always, you know, like you're not like you're not incapable of being loved by other people. You know, like you can always find people to love you, to cherish you, to be, you know, and to really just uplift you wherever you go. And so I think for me, it was really learning that like, okay, like I can travel out of state, I can go away. And so originally in undergrad, I was 6 hours away. And then when I went to grad school in Pensacola, I was only 3 hours away. And now I'm about to go 18 hours away for living in Manhattan. And so I'm like, okay, like I can do this. Like but it's also something that like, I've prayed for this. Like I vividly remember being the kid in like sixth grade, like even in elementary school when they used to ask us like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I'm like, and I'm literally standing up in class, like, I want to be a New Yorker. Like, I want to live in New York. Like, I want to be the kid who walks down Manhattan, you know, who walks down Times Square and they're living their life. Like, it's one of those things that I'm like, you can't be afraid now. Like, you've prayed for this. Like, literally all the preparation, all the, like, you know, all of your dreams are starting to unfold. They're starting to come true. You can't let your fear deter you from, you know, achieving what that young person in you has always aspired for. And so I think to that particular question in terms of that post-grad depression, for me, you know, initially when I first graduated from high school and I left away, you know, I was kind of like, okay, I'm a little bit sad. And I'm like, okay, like, I really do miss my friends. I really miss the atmosphere of college and everything that college really gave us. But I also understood that, okay, like if I'm going to be the best version of myself, I have to go out. Like I can't just stay stagnant in where I am. Like you can't grow in the same place that broke you, you know? And I think like, you know, undergrad was great, but there were moments that I felt like I was being broken for just like a multitude of things. But I think also like, you know, with each place that I've like found myself living and traveling from, I've always said like, I'm grateful for that experience. Like don't get me wrong. Post-grad depression has hit me 3 times, like high school, undergrad and grad school. And I'm thinking like, whew, can't do this no more. Like if I go back for a PhD, what am I going to do? But, you know, I'm telling myself also that, like, I'm glad, you know, like, I'm glad that I was able to be in those spaces, and I'm glad that I was able to leave those spaces, because, like I said, you can't grow in the same place that broke you. So, like, there was no way I was going to be able to grow in Tallahassee, Florida, when mm-hmm. I felt like I was being broken in Tallahassee, Florida. There was no way I was going to be able to say I was growing if I stayed in Rome, Georgia, when in Rome, Georgia, I felt like I literally was feeling like I was being broken. And so the same thing can be said about Pensacola. Like, it was great experiences, but there were moments that I was like, you know, I just really feel like I just need something new. I need something different. And it's like, you know, it's not the fact that you're running away from anything. You're running to become something better. And so, like, I think with moving to New York, I'm like, I'm not running away from my life. I'm not running away from family or friends or my past experiences. I'm running, you know, into a future that I've always aspired for. And it's like, I'm running, like, full force into that future. Like, nothing's holding me back at this point. It's like, okay, you've prayed for this. You literally have manifested your dream that you've had since you were in, like, either fifth or I can't even remember, but, like, I still have it in journals and catalogs. And it literally, like, scribbles when my handwriting was just getting good. And it was like, okay, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I was like, I want to be a New Yorker. Like, I want to be able to say that I live in New York. I want to live in Brooklyn and all these other things. And so, you know, it's just crazy. So, but, like, just, again, to really just combat post-grad depression, it's understanding that you have these resources you can also, you know, connect with. Like, you know, maybe you're not too keen on seeking out, like, a therapist or reaching out to your friends and family. That's okay. It took me a little minute to also realize, like, I can't do this alone. Like, even though I think, like, I'm Superman, like, you know, as Olivia Pope says, it's handled, like, I can do everything I want to on my own, like, I can do bad all by myself. God will literally slap you in the face and say, no, you can't. It was like, no, you can't, and I'm gonna humble you, and here's why. So, in that sense, be okay with reaching out and seeking guidance from people who love you. You know, who really want to see the best version of yourself possible. Because I honestly would not be here today had I not, you know, really sought out those friendships and those, you know, had those hard conversations in regards to post-grad. And, like, my friendships that we still talk even to this day. And I'm like, wow, y'all, like, it's almost been 6 years since we were in undergrad. And we'll laugh and we're like, man, we really miss those memories. But we also all know that, you know, we love the way our lives are right now. Like, we don't want to go back, you know, like, we want to reminisce, but we don't want to go back. Because, you know, if you go back, you know, again, if you go back, who's to say those same experiences are going to be the exact same?
Thank you. You know,
it's just one of those things. So enjoy the time. Understand post-grad does not last forever. Especially that post-grad depression. Post-grad depression is seasonal. Like, it'll hit you. Like, there'll be moments when you're like, ooh, I remember these nights, like, when me and my friends, we would all just be, like, in one apartment, we'd be drinking, having fun, you know, everybody just cracking jokes on each other, and then there's times when you're like, thank God I am not with them now, like, I need my peace, I need my space. And so, honestly, post-grad depression is one of those things, it's a hit or miss, like, you either love it or you don't, because yeah. It just brings about good and or bad memories, but understanding that it doesn't last forever, and that, like, I don't know, like, the best you is going to come from that breakdown.
Yeah, and you needed those experiences. I love it. Next, we have, let me make sure none of these are repetitive. All right, this one is a random one, but I like it. It says, how do you budget during a time like this?
Ooh. Honestly, I have to credit my parents for that. Like, growing up as, like, so something me and my sister would always call each other, we're like, oh my gosh, like, we're the only, like, arcades. Arcades are restaurant kids. And so, like,
so we'd
always be like, oh my gosh, like, what it sucks to be arcades. But it's great because, like, with my parents being, like, small business owners and, like, being at the restaurant, and, like, it has really shown me, like, okay, you need to budget this way. You need to budget this way. And, like, now that I'm about to move to Manhattan, I'm like, boy, you need to budget this because your rent's about to be this. You need to budget this because groceries are probably going to be this. The train's probably going to be this. And so there's so many things that I'm like, okay, like you need to, you know, like I had already learned how to budget, you know, like prior to, you know, going to grad school and undergrad, but it really helped in grad school. I was a grad assistant, and I don't know if you know anything about GAs, but GAs, we were not paid anything whatsoever.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh no, we were. I think I was making like $12 an hour, and they only had me working 20 hours a week. Yeah, and Pensacola is like not cheap in terms of like, yeah, like you can live here, and like, but I'm thinking like, yeah, like it's easy, you know, it's possible to live here, but when you making basically chump change, and they're like, oh yeah, here's your rent, it's due on the first, and you're like. Yeah. And you're like, can I get an extension? And they're like, no, you can't. That's when it's like, okay, let me humble myself and budget correctly. So honestly, I really will say it came like really then that I was like, okay, like I already knew how to crunch numbers pretty good when it came to like, I want to make sure that my pocket stayed this amount of money even after I get done paying my rent. So really it comes with understanding that as you grow older, things get a lot more expensive. Mm-hmm. But really also understanding that, you know, like it is possible to go out, have fun, and live your life, but also be responsible in paying your bills and making sure that everything is paid in a timely manner. Just because, again, it's one of those things that like you don't want to come home one night and your lights off. So I think it's one of those things that it's like, if you like, honestly, if you were just being like conscious about what you're doing and like how you're living your life, budgeting should be one of those things. So it's like, it's not, you know, like it's not super hard then. Not necessarily it's not super hard, but that you should be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut out everything that you don't need. If you don't need it, mm-mm. Throw it out. If it's unnecessary, throw it out.
Right.
You don't need to be buying clothes. You aren't going anywhere. So.
But I will say, honestly, though, like, again, like, I have always loved thrift shopping, but, like, budgeting-wise, like, thrift shopping became my go-to. Like, I would take my friends, and they're like, oh, my gosh, like, I want to go to H&M. And I'm like, but you don't have H&M money. So humble yourself. So we're going thrift shopping. I'm like, but we're going thrift shopping. And they're like, but I don't want furniture from here. And I'm like, but you need furniture. Yeah. So. You're going to get a $25 couch from Goodwill. We're going to make sure we clean it, sanitize it, whatever we need to do. And you're going to be happy about it, because if not, I'm not coming over to your house because you don't have a couch. I'm thinking to myself, like, we're not going to be sitting on lawn chairs anymore in your home. I'm like, well, that's what we're not going to do. So, you know, it's just one of those things that it's like, okay, so we budget, we do this right, we're good. So, yeah.
You can find ways.
Oh yeah.
Next.
And also don't be afraid to like splurge on some cheap wine. Cheap wine will do you in.
Ask me, I know. Someone said, do you think it's worth going to graduate school?
What's Honestly, yes. I don't know. See, I love my time in grad school. I really wish I would have been like financially capable of going to my first option for grad school, which was Syracuse. But okay. You know, Syracuse costs a little bit of money.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? Like, I had a great scholarship and a great like system that allowed me to go to grad school for free. And so I think for me, it was like, okay, like although I might not have had like this top tier university giving me my diploma, I think for me, it was the experiences and the relationships that I built that allowed me to, you know, just really become more established. Now, I really won't say that like those connections helped me land a job per se, but I will say the experiences and the work and all the things that I did and like, just again, just like the people and like those relationships that I formed, I would not have formed those had I not been to grad school. And I think a lot of people get stuck on like, okay, like I'm only going to grad school if it's going to get me a job and get me more money. Like, obviously that's something, but also like the relationships you build in grad school. I mean, it's similar to undergrad, but grad school is like a beast of its own.
Yeah.
That, like, you are literally Like, it's really one of those, like, it's do or die type mm-hmm. of things. So
I agree. And I feel like I learned more about myself in graduate school than I learned about myself in undergrad, because you start to realize what you like, what you don't like, what you'll tolerate, what you won't tolerate. I don't know what it is about graduate school, but it's something. It's like it takes the blinders off. It's like the veil comes off and you're like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, I didn't really like that before. So you really come into your own in graduate school.
That's it.
Yeah.
Honestly, because I will say, like, it really helped me understand. Honestly, I will say it helped, like, being in the program that I was in, it also opened my eyes into becoming more fascinated in terms of other programs that, like, that university had to offer that I had not known about.
Yeah.
So had I known about, like, the higher education program, I would have taken that route and worked to become a diversity and inclusion, like, chief officer for a university.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't know about that route, but I'm still excited to take the route that I'm on to kind of catapult myself into that, like, role or realm at some point in my career. So, I don't know, it's just one of those things that it's like, you know, like, although you may not really know where you might go after you get your master's or with your master's, it's just exciting to see, like, what you'll learn and gather from just being present in that experience as a whole.
Yeah, agreed. Thoughts on if you think people choose grad school because they don't know what else to do?
Oh, first of all, mind your business.
You are my business.
You didn't have to do me like that. Honestly, though, like, not truthfully, though. I felt like I was one of those people.
I was, too.
Yeah, like, I was one of those people where, like, people would ask me, they're like, wow, like, you seem like you have everything just lined up. Like, you just know what you want to do with your life. Like, I used to tell people, because I used to be really big into, like, political communication. And so I used to say, like, I want to be the director of communications for the White House one day. You know, and this was, like, right after Donald Trump. He became president. So, you know, it was one of those things that I was like, yeah, like, I want to, you know, like, I want to get back in. Like, I want to get in there. I want to really reinforce, like, what it means, you know, to be somebody who is standing firm and upholds the ideals of, you know, equality and justice and liberty, you know, all these things. And then I was like, actually, that's really not what I want to do. That just sounded good because I know everybody else would be like, wow, he wants to work for like the White House one day. And I used to be like, yeah, I do want to work for the White House one day. You know, so, you know, eventually, like, I would take that little cover off my face and I'd be like, boy, you do not want to work for the White House.
What are you saying?
No, like, right. Like, literally, I found myself talking just to talk sometimes. Like, stuff would be coming out in my mind. I'm like, when the fuck was what? That? I'm like, who said that? I'm like, okay, because last week I thought we were going for the White House. Now we trying to be in the Peace Corps. Like,
what is going on?
Right. I'm like, let's figure out what we're doing. Let's really figure out what we're doing. So, I really feel like sometimes that is the way for people, but I also know, like, I was a good 50-50 where, like, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I knew the statistics that as a person of color, specifically a Black individual in America, that we have a better chance of securing higher paying jobs or just jobs in general with a master's or some type of higher degree or extra certificates to our name. Mm-hmm. So I knew that would, you know, really assist us in, like, assist me and, like, anybody else who's Black in terms of getting a job. But I also knew that, like, I didn't feel like I was finished learning yet. Like, I felt like I learned a good bit at my undergrad, but I felt like there was so much more to learn that I was like, okay, I need to go to grad school. Before I find myself in somebody's organization, there's more that I need to learn. And I'm extremely thankful that I did go, because there's things that I did learn, information that I had heard that I was like, wow, did not know that beforehand, but I'm glad I do now, because now I can take that into wherever I go.
Yeah.
You know, and again, like I said, those relationships, like, I mean, yes, grad school can be expensive, but also definitely look into, like, outlets, some scholarships, foundations, organizations. Because again, like, the money's out there. It's just hard when, like, we're not exposed to it, like,
yeah,
the way that we should. And so I definitely think that those relationships, like, I go back to them because I think I met, like, two of my, like, best friends from grad school who, like, I know I would be best friends with them for, like, the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But I think also it's just that had I not been in grad school, had I not, you know, just really shared those, like, experiences and those moments and, like, those highs and those lows with these, you know, these two individuals, my life probably would not be how it is right now, you know? So I honestly, like, you know, grad school can be expensive. It's definitely hard, but I definitely say, like, go for it. Definitely go
Same.
For it.
We're going to cap it with this question. This, because some of the other ones we covered throughout the podcast episode. So the last one is, what should, okay, this is a advantage student to?
My laptop just hit me.
What happened?
Wait, I'm sorry. Oh, no, I was saying my laptop just hit me with, like, you have 24 minutes left on your battery and my charger is not with me.
Oh, okay.
So
I'm gonna hurry up. So it says, what should I expect / prepare for after college?
Ooh. Kind of going back, like, and again, I'll be as authentic and transparent as possible. Like, you will have those moments where, like, you do reminisce pretty heavily on, like, you know, those moments with your friends, because again, like, you'll never have a moment like your freshman year. Your freshman year will hands down be the year you and your friends will look back on, like, at your graduation and be like, you remember freshman year when we were just, like, completely just off the wall, just, I mean, we were just ludicrous. I don't know how we did what we did, but we did it. But honestly, you will suffer from post-grad depression. I don't think it's talked about a lot. Mental health in general is not talked about enough, especially within the Black community as a whole, just because, you know, we carry this complex of spirituality, you know, over everything else, mm-hmm. where you need to kind of be like, okay, you can still have a relationship with God, but you can also go and talk to your therapist as well. And so I think for me, leaving undergrad, it really felt like I was losing a piece of my identity because I had placed so much of me in that institution. And then to finally be leaving that institution, you know, after 4 years of really just doing whatever we're doing, just really just doing all that you could possibly do, or really just, like, you know, even if you weren't, like, involved on your campus, it's one of those things that you're like, okay, so my identity revolved around academics. Like, I was a student before I was anything else. And now, if you don't want to go and perceive, like, a higher degree, you're like, now I'm just going to go straight from being a student from K through 12 and then all throughout undergrad for 4 or maybe 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And then you're like, now I have to go be a full-time, like, worker. And so I think that switch kind of hits a lot of people. And I think that, you know, it's okay to really reach out to people, you know, who've been there, who've done that, but also, like, some healthcare professionals who focus on, like, mental health issues. Like, I truly cannot reinforce that enough, is that it's okay to seek out guidance. Because I know for me, like, I didn't really seek out, like, guidance like I should have until I got into grad school. And I was like, I just felt like a piece of my identity left me.
Yeah.
Once I left undergrad, like, so much of me was ingrained in being a student, an athlete, involved in extracurricular activities, that now that I don't have a lot of those titles, I'm like, I have all this free time. I don't really know what to do with myself. And I find myself just kind of wondering, like, okay, so, like, what do I do now? Like, how can I get more involved? And so I think also a lot of that is, you know, again, reaching out to mental health professionals, but also, like, finding things within your community that could, you know, be better suited for your time. Like, I know it's easy to get on social media and just scroll and scroll and scroll, but, you know, I think we could also be reaching out in terms of, like, just really helping in some of these, like, larger community centers or smaller community centers, like our local Boys and Girls chapters, and really just, like, kind of, like, giving back and, like, donating our time. So I know for me, like, throughout undergrad, like, I would frequently, like, leave class before practice, go to the community soup kitchen, because I was like, you know, I just need something, like, I just want something else to do within my own community now that I'm here, like, just outside of those identities of being a student, an athlete, you know, involved in X, Y, and Z. It was like, I want to do something else that doesn't just kind of hold my identity to this institution. So really just getting out, making the most of, again, those relationships and those connections, and just really figuring out like, okay, so I don't have school anymore, but I know that I can get involved in this, or I can get involved in this young professional group. I can get involved in my local NAACP chapter, or just something that, you know, you might not have ever had time for because of school. Now that you have an ample amount of time, or not ample because you might work in a 9-to-5 or whatever that might be, but you have time now to be like, okay, like my time can be suited for this. So, yeah.
Agreed. That was beautiful, Sisu. I am so happy that you gave us a piece of your time today. If y'all knew the technical difficulties we have been having, but we're pushing through. We are pushing through. I hate to have to ask you this again, but where can we find you?
Yes. So find me actually on both Instagram and Twitter. My handle's the exact same. It's CecilRobb_CECILROB_. And really on Twitter, I honestly just really just share all the funny things. Like my favorite video right now, I have to share every Tuesday. It's the video of JT and Carisha. It's like, what day it is?
What day is? Tuesday.
I say it in my head at least once a week. I'm like, well, I guess it's that day.
And I love it because the podcast comes out every Tuesday. So I always have that video like, what's today is? Tuesday.
It's honestly just getting me through 2020 at this point. Like, city girls, that's just, I have to stand.
Gotta love that, them.
Goodness, listen, it's them and then it's Flo Millie. I just... I have no choice but
Flo
to stand.
Is my, I have no choice but to stand. I have no choice.
I literally will pull up to my parents' restaurant and that's like what I'm bumping, and I get out. People are like, oh, I haven't seen you in years. And I'm like, I was just in here bumping to some like, talking about scamming you, robbing you. Like, and here I am about to go in here and be like, can I make your sandwich? What can I eat for you?
But that's how we have to live though.
Right. That's the life we have to live. But my thoughts are the same. And my article with Medium, but also Thrive Global and other just like publications can also be found on my Instagram as well. I have the link to my website in the description box. So if you just want to keep up with me in these current 20s and like just really navigating through life, just read my articles there and you'll see. I really like to do a thing called Motivational Wednesday, where it's just like picking a video or like an interview from a different like Black celebrity. And just like using that to really just speak some life into like, maybe it's like a current situation I find myself in, whether it's in regards to like building and breaking down relationships, like familial issues, just really lifestyle issues altogether. So if you really just really want to know about navigating these 20s and also me about to experience New York, so definitely follow me on there as well, because I'll definitely be writing about my journey.
Yes, and I will link all of his information in the podcast description and the YouTube video description, so you have no choice. You can find him in all of those descriptions.
Yes.
Thank you, Cecil. I appreciate you and I love you.
I love you too, Shakira. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great night.
Thank you. You too. And that is all, you guys. I hope that you all enjoyed this conversation between Cecil and I, talking about rejection, talking about our different stories and how we have coped with different situations that we have had to deal with. I hope that there is something that resonated with you. If not, don't worry. Somewhere along the road, you will find something on this podcast that resonates with you. Don't forget to share this with your family and your friends. Spread the word. We're a growing family, and I appreciate when you guys share and post on your Instagram stories. It lets me know that you're listening, and it puts a face to, you know, just numbers, because on my end, all I see is numbers. So I like to see you guys, you know, face and posting and letting me know your thoughts on different episodes as they come out. Please don't forget that in a few days, the scholarship is going to be closing. The deadline is August 4th at 5 p.m., but get your stuff in early, okay? You know, sometimes we hang out on CP time. If you don't know what CP time is, colored people time. So sometimes we hang out on CP time. Don't do that. Get your stuff in early and before August 4th if you can, because
What if your internet is not working on August 4th? What if your phone dies right at the moment that you're about to hit submit? Just get it in early, okay? I'm telling you, just get it in early so that all of your stuff is in and you don't have to worry about it. Don't forget that you can follow us on Instagram at Carefree and Black Diaries and also on Twitter at Carefree Black Pod. That's Carefree, BLKPOD. Stay black, stay carefree, and we'll see you guys Tuesday, August 4th, 9 a.m. sharp. All right. Bye, guys.